It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Coffin. Big news, Ted Cruz out of the race, suspends his campaign for president after losing in Indiana. But it was inevitable, but he was threatening for brokered and contested conventions. He wasn't going to go away quietly. Mike Fouché is in from AlderTrack, covers all things Chicago politics, but also, you know, obviously a political observer.
I got opinions.
What's your thought on Ted Cruz stepping aside?
Well, I mean, it was really kind of the window was closing, right? It was clear that he wasn't really getting a good message across in Indiana. A lot of reports that were coming is that he was having a very hard time building support in Indiana. You know, you had Governor Mike Pence come out for Trump. I mean, that's pretty rough for him. You know, but as we were talking about during the break,
great trivia question:
who is the shortest lived vice presidential candidate ever? And the answer is Carly Fiorina.
Carly Fiorina.
What? That is fantastic, right?
We all have that when we're like, should I leave my job? Should I go to this new thing? They'll try it. What's the worst that can happen?
Do you get like a plaque? Is there a portrait gallery somewhere?
Well, you know? I mean, this. I mean, obviously there was a lot of movement with Trump and Kasich and even Marco Rubio suspending his campaign to hold on to delegates.
Kasich is still in.
Yeah, but so the question.
He might win it.
The question is, I mean, does this essentially end that talk of a brokered convention or a contested convention that was becoming the only way that someone not named Trump was going to get the nomination?
Well, I mean, you know, I can't speak for the minds of Republican leaders, but you know, over the last couple of weeks, we've been seeing a lot of reports of Republican leadership really feeling that maybe they weren't too keen on the idea of a conflict at the convention, a brokered convention. And that they were looking for Trump to be able to seal up the numbers. He's certainly getting there, if not there already. I think that maybe today closes the deal.
I think he was short, like a hand, like 200.
Yeah, well, then he's not quite there, but he's almost there. You know, the nature of the Republican Party is not to be looking for conflict anyway. I mean, the nature of the Republican Party has always been, how do you fall in line? And that I think that's what we're kind of seeing here.
Obviously they're going to put their resources, whatever that might be, behind Donald Trump for a Republican nomination. But you know, not the greatest candidate for the established Republican Party. Do you see the donors and others who have been giving to Republicans for years and years and years maybe saying, you know what, we're just going to sit this one out?
You know, that's a great question. I mean, Mitch McConnell, the leader of the GOP, the GOP Senate leader, has been saying, let's try and find a way so that we can run Senate campaigns that are outside of Donald Trump, that are avoiding Donald Trump. But I think that there's a really important thing that's going on in the Republican Party here, which is that Donald Trump is pushing away a lot of the old wreckage the Republican Party has had for a long time, which is you talk a big game about social morals and then you toss it away as soon as you get to being in office, and that you talk a big game about tax cuts. But what we're finding out with all these people that are supporting Donald Trump is that tax cuts are less important than protecting jobs, than protecting being able to continue moving forward, that there is some sort of social morality that's important, but it's not nearly as big a deal as it has been in the
past. Quick correction just on the combos. We move out of this and move to more local stuff. Pence did endorse Ted Cruz.
Excuse me. That's right. Yeah, Pence did endorse
that,
Ted Cruz.
So, yeah. But regardless, I mean, it didn't matter because Donald Trump wipes the floor in Indiana. More on this. We'll obviously have so much more on this with WGN News. Also, Steve Cochran in the morning. We'll have plenty of analysis on what this means. But you know what? We've kind of analyzed this to death. I mean, last night we had Charles Lipson and Dave Lundy on talking about this same scenario, Trump, you know, a Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump summer.
Yeah.
You know, as we're getting away from the primaries, even though they're not done, this obviously shuts the door on the Donald Trump side of this.
Well, and there's already been reports about how Hillary Clinton is ahead of Donald Trump in putting together a national organization. She announced earlier this week that she's been hiring state directors in Colorado and in Ohio and some other states. Mm-hmm. So she's already building her organization for a general campaign. And there's a lot of work that Donald Trump has to do with that. And one of the big raps against him is that he doesn't have much of an organization. He hasn't been able to build people for his campaign. So I think there's a lot for him to overcome.
Yeah.
He'll have a lot of Republican Party support to do that.
Well, we'll have endless conversation about that throughout the summer. Let's talk about today's big news, the Lucas Museum. And it's a strange piece of news because it started, I mean, this is the anatomy of this news story today, the cycle. At the beginning, in the morning, the story was that the Friends of the Park have suspended their lawsuit.
Right.
So it felt like a win for the mayor. They were going to be able to negotiate. But quickly, after Friends of the Park started talking to media sources, the Sun Times, others, it started to quickly be not that.
Right. And actually what it is that Friends of the Park had said that they're actually preparing to sue against anything that goes on the lake. And Melanie Hobson, the wife of Steven Spielberg, and Melanie Hobson's from Chicago. George Lucas. What did I say?
Steven Spielberg.
Hey.
That's kind of awesome.
Sorry, guys.
That may be the best flub in the history of flubs.
You know,
Spielberg's wife. What does she have to do with this? Right. All right.
And so anyway, George Lucas's wife, Melanie Hobson, and Melanie Hobson's from Chicago. Melanie Hobson released a statement where she said, the Friends of the Park are actually no friend to Chicago. And that if there's anything that we should know, it's that Friends of the Park killed this project.
And the Friends of the Park are quick to respond to that, saying, we didn't kill anything. We will fight to sue for anyone who puts anything on the lakefront.
Right.
Maybe the question is to ask George Lucas why he won't change locations.
So
you're getting a nice little war of words here between the Lucas camp, the Friends of the Park camp, and Rahm Emanuel's kind of stuck in the middle here. He kind of, when the winds changed and it felt like the judge may, you know, side with Friends of the Park in this lawsuit, he started throwing out compromises. McCormick placed
He did everything he possibly could
to save George Lucas's museum, because the truth of the matter is he did everything but suggest different locations off the lakefront.
That's exactly right. And, you know, and there's a really interesting thing that I want to point out here, which is that the executive director of Friends of the Park is a woman named Juanita Irizarry. And Juanita Irizarry was the unsuccessful candidate for 31st Ward Alderman.
Hmm.
She lost to Millie Santiago. So considering how much impact that this failed aldermanic candidate has had on the city of Chicago just in that short period of time, I think that's kind of interesting.
But this is a lawsuit that's been, I mean, I remember when we first started this show, The Download, that first week, like, I think it was April.
We've been talking about this.
We've been talking about this for a year, and there was a different Friends of the Park executive director who was on the way. I remember trying to get her to come on the show, and she wouldn't come on. So, I mean, this has been something, again,
they've been prosecuting for a long time.
Exactly. This is not the Friends of the Park with an axe to grind against Mayor Emanuel and an axe to grind against George Lucas. Their mission, a clear plan, is what they're all about. Is to protect lakefront parks and other places that are of the public interest.
Yeah.
And so this just falls into line, and they just found a judge in this case who's saying, there might be something here.
That's exactly right. You're watching
the mayor reel, who was hoping that he could almost, as a verb, Mayor Daley this.
We were joking before the segment
that if Mayor Daley was still mayor, it'd be more, what's that construction project on the lake right now? What is that? I don't know. And then we'd have this conversation after it was already up. All right, the last thing we talk about quick as we try to catch up on the time of the show. The CPS, big news this afternoon.
Yeah.
CPS leaders telling the aldermen that money issues are going to be pretty tight to end this season or this year, and also for next year.
Yesterday and today, CPS officials briefed aldermen on what they expect their budget to be. And their budget should be coming out in the next couple of weeks.
Mm.
And they said a number of things. One is which they're going to have about a $1.1 billion deficit. So that's not money they owe. That's money. That's the gap
now,
in what they need.
We've been throwing around 400, 600, 600.
That was last year.
Last year, that's the number that the state was trying to cover. So
the next year,
we're talking $1.1 billion.
Right. Without some kind of state aid. Now, they have a whole package that they brought to city council where city council might be able to contribute to some extent, about $140 million. But, you know, that's a drop in the bucket in the whole bigger, larger project. It has to really be about state aid and the ability for Chicago Public Schools in order to raise their property taxes.
They're
right at the cap.
Is there any way this is just essentially sounding the alarm or getting ready,
ringing
the bell, because the governor has floated the idea of changing the formula and giving less next year.
You know, a lot of their proposal. Well, what they said in their numbers that they presented is that they've already cut about $700 million
right.
from last year's budget. And so what they're arguing is there's not a whole lot more that can be cut without actually cutting education services to kids.
So they need, I mean, first we need a budget. Down
first
in Springfield,
we need
we're
a budget
talk about that.
For the whole state.
Of course, and that includes, and then, of course, there needs to be some funding coming in for the
That's right.
city schools.
So, you know, I think that clearly we're at a point where there's a major crisis that's coming. The other interesting piece of news is that CPS said at the end of their fiscal year, which is June 30th, they're only going to have $24 million on hand, which is about a day and a half of operations
wow.
for CPS. CPS has got some other problems where their ability to borrow, they can still borrow from banks. You know, they haven't announced how much they've borrowed. Best guesses are somewhere around $1 billion of short-term debt. But they have the need to be able to borrow additional money from bondholders, and their ability to borrow from bondholders, as we found out a couple months ago when they had a lot of problems going to the bond markets, has really been restricted greatly. So I think it's going to be very hard for them to come up with any money without the ability to raise property taxes or getting cash from the state.
Mike Fouché is with AlderTrack.com. He checks in with us once a week here on the download. Great local stories in the shadow of the big national
story that
Ted Cruz is dropped out of the presidential race. Mike Fouché, thanks for joining us.
Good to be here.